the past few weeks, we have been concentrating on the cross of Jesus. We did this because Paul challenged us to live a focused life through focusing our thoughts, our hopes, our dreams, our talents, our desires on Jesus. And in his challenge, we read where he said that in order to do this, one of the things we needed to do in truly focusing on Jesus was to share in his sufferings. Paul, of course, could and did this physically, showing, he said, the marks on his body where he had been beaten, stoned, where he'd been cast out of cities. But thank God, we don't have to do that. There's not anybody that's going to come get you this week and beat you with a whip. So how can we share in his sufferings? And in an effort to focus our mind more on what Jesus underwent for us, what did he do? How did he suffer for me? If I can understand some of that, if I can grasp some of that, if in some way I can let the Scriptures challenge me to know what he underwent, and to know that it was for me, because he didn't have any sin. He didn't have to die for himself. He didn't have any sins. But actually died the most sinful individual that has ever lived on this earth. Say, well, how did he do that? He didn't have any sins. You say, because he carried the sins of every human being that had ever lived and will ever live to the cross. They came and arrested him at the garden. His friend, disciple, Judas, kissed him. They took him into custody. They took him to Caiaphas' house. Caiaphas was the high priest, you remember. There they went through this absolutely mockery of justice, injustice. There were so many ways that this trial was illegal. First of all, it's held at night against the law, against the Jewish law. It was not held in the temple. That's in Jewish law. The verdict was not supposed to be rendered the same day of the trial. That didn't happen. Jesus was forced to testify against himself. That's against the Jewish law. On and on we could go. The mockery of a trial that he went through. Finally, as they forced him to testify that he was the Son of God, that was enough for the Sanhedrin, and so they condemned him to death. And when they did that, they spit on him, the ultimate of degradation. They beat him. But then they had to take him to the governor. They had to take him to Pilate because under Jewish law, because they were occupied and ruled by the Roman government, they could not carry out a death sentence. So they had to have the sanction of the Roman government. They take him to Pilate. Pilate knows what's going on. He sees through this. It's no question about it. This man is being tried. Was held because of a religious thing. And Pilate doesn't want to get into it, but he's forced into it because he can't have another uprising. Rome is down, breathing down his neck, and so he gives in to the fact that this man is not liked, and so hopefully they won't carry out a death sentence if he just beat him nearly to death. And so he does. He sends him and has him beaten, and it says, nigh unto death. That means that they beat him until he was just about dead, and then backed it off. But this didn't satisfy the Jewish leaders, and so he tries this little trick of letting a prisoner go, but instead of a political prisoner, which is usually the case, he gets the most vile prisoner in the dungeon, brings him up. His name is Barabbas. Which one do you want? This murderer who's killed you and robbed from you, or this Jesus? And of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, they've circulated among the people, and they cry out, Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Then Pilate, stunned that they're going to want him to turn loose a murderer, says, well, what will I do with this man called Jesus? And again, they've caused the people to cry out, crucify him! Let's crucify him! Crucify him! And so he leads him away, and they beat him again. They beat him again. And then they give him a cross to carry to a hill just outside of the city of Jerusalem called Golgotha. It's called the place of the skull because it really kind of looks like a skull. Called Calvary. And Jesus is physically he's spent. He's lost a lot of blood. He can't carry his cross. We got to remember now, he's human. He's God, but he's all human. And the human side is gone. It's the God side that is saying, you've got to make it to the cross. You've got to keep going. You've got to die for them. Even though they don't understand, you've got to die for them. And so he drags himself on, but not carrying his cross because he can't do it anymore. Just physically cannot do it anymore. So they get a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene, and he carries the cross, and then they nail him to the cross, and then they crucify him. And it says that the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders follow him out there, and they continue to, the word rail, and that means they continue to taunt him and to tease and to saying things like, well, he was the Son of God, but said he could save others, but look at him, people. Is that look like a God? Hanging on a cross? Does that look like a God to you? Come down from the cross. Jesus, King of the Jews, come down from the cross. We'll believe on you then. Over and over again. And the two thieves, one on either side, they say the same thing. Save us, save us. Jesus is there dying, knowing the God side knows I have got to die for these people, for the world. Still, you know, I mean, I know He's God, but how much can even God stand? The human in Him, what would you do? You have the power to come down from the cross and leave him alone. Let Him die in peace. Well, what kind of peace is there dying on a cross? Just leave Him alone. Let Him die. But then, what if, what if Jesus said it's enough? Would you have blamed Him? Now we'd have died, but would you have blamed Him? He's got the power. All He's got to do is say, "My angels, come get me. I've had enough." And 10,000 angels, 50,000 angels, 100,000 angels would have been there in a moment to gently take Him from that cross and carry Him back to heaven. Could have done it. So this morning I'm asking the question, what if Jesus had come down from the cross? I'm going to tell you what. You're talking about a scary thought for a child of God, for the Christian. There is no other thought that would be more horrible. What if Jesus had come down from the cross? Well, first of all, there would have been no New Testament. The Bible uses words like testament, covenant, will. We know the word will best, because a will is something that someone makes that leaves their estate to their family, and what their desires after they die, what they would like for their family to share, that's called a will. It's also called a testament. It's also called a covenant. We even say that, the last will and testament. If Jesus had died, there would have been no New Testament. Because the New Testament is the will of Jesus. And as pointed out in Hebrews chapter 9, that a will or a testament is of no effect while the testator or the person that makes the will is alive. Hebrews 9, verses 15 through 17. So, if Jesus had not died, there would be no New Testament. Well, why did we need a New Testament? What was wrong with the Old Testament? Well, it couldn't take away our sins. Simple and enough is the Old Testament couldn't take away our sins. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, there the writer points out to us how that the blood of bulls and goats could not, listen to me, could not take away our sins. It says if it could have, then they wouldn't have come offered them every year continually. Under the Old Testament, the command was to offer the sacrifices of bulls and goats, but only as an obedience to God for Him to not remember their sins against them for 1 year. So next year they got to come back and do it again. Next year they got to come back and do it again. They've got to do it every year as long as they live, rolling their sins forward. Forward to what? Forward to the cross. Because when Jesus died on the cross, His blood went back to all of those who had died in a covenant relationship, or the right relationship with God. It forgave their sins, and it flows forward to forgive our sins. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, "I come to do thy will, O Father," and He died, gave Himself as a sacrifice. Now watch these words. "Once and for all." We don't have to bring sacrifices anymore. We don't have to die on a cross. Jesus did that. He did it for us once and for all. If Jesus had not died, there'd been no New Testament. If Jesus had not died, there would have been no resurrection. Now, a lot of good men have died. When we went to Washington, D.C., I got to see a monument to the Washington and the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial, and I saw the words that these men have spoken engraved on these ivory walls, and it was impressive. They were good men, but they died. And they're still have died. They're dead. Jesus died, but He was raised from the dead. Listen to what verse 14 tells us about Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, if Jesus wasn't raised, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is in vain. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, what you doing here this morning? How come you're here listening to me? I ain't got nothing to tell you. Other than be really good people, just be good. Because when you die, you're fixing to go to hell. That's all I'd have to tell you. Our preaching's vain. Our preaching's empty. Our faith in vain. Look at verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15. And he said, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you're still in your sins. You ain't got anything to take your hands away. If Jesus hadn't died, there wouldn't be any resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, you got nothing to take your sins away. He defeated the biggest enemy of mankind. Great men, great statesmen, great army leaders, military men, kings, princesses, rich men, poor men, everybody's enemy. You're all going to die. The Bible says that too. Hebrews 9, verse 27, pointed out a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. So he defeated mankind's greatest enemy. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, there'd be no church. In Acts 20, and verse 28, there, elders are encouraged to be overseers of the church, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he purchased it with his blood. I don't know what you think about the church, but I know what God thought about it. He sent his son. We hear such statements as, I know back during the dark ages of the 60s, there was a movement called the Jesus Movement that said, Jesus yes, church no. Carried the signs. You can't have Jesus without the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 gave him to be, Jesus had to be over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You can't separate Jesus and the church. In Acts 2 and verse 47, tells us there that whenever we are obey the gospel, that the Lord added to the church daily those that are being saved. What's the church? This building? No. You. Me. We're the church. Jesus had died, there'd be no church. Jesus had not died, there'd be no salvation. Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In the passage of Scripture that Chesley read this morning, before I forgot who read the communion Scripture, but it was that Jesus has shed his blood. That's the way that God set it up. So that whoever came to him would have the forgiveness of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. He died so you don't have to. He suffered so you don't have to. Thank God a thousand times that my Jesus didn't come down from that cross. I came to the cross one day that stood on Calvary. I watched them lead my Lord away and nail him to a tree. And as the darkness dimmed the view, I chanced to catch a stare. I bowed my head in shame, for I knew I nailed my Savior there. My sin led Jesus to that cross. For me the Savior bled. He took my sin and bore its cross. He died there in my stead. Oh, wondrous love that he should show. Oh, grace when I too share an equal guilt. For well I know I nailed my Savior there. The Jews cast not the only stone that bruised and brought a tear. Nor did the Romans stand alone and thrust that cruel spear. But many prints of agony that marked Christ's face so fair were from the wounds imposed by me. I nailed my Savior there. Jesus had not died, there'd be no forgiveness, Ephesians 1, verse 7. There'd be no redemption, 1 Peter 1, verse 18. There'd be no justification, Romans 5, and verse 1. There'd be no atonement, Romans 5, verses 8. No peace with God, Colossians 1, and verse 20. And on we could go, but we'll wrap it up this morning by saying, if Jesus had not died on the cross, there would be no hope. Be no hope. We live on this earth, we would die, and we would go to hell. And that'd be the end of it. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Because he didn't come down from the cross, my hope goes beyond the grave. I know that when I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, without God, in this world. And that's where you still are if you haven't obeyed his truth. Why in the world, when Jesus went through what he did for me to live, would I not take advantage of that? Why would I not run to Jesus, our only hope, way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Come to the Father by Jesus. Will you come while together we stand and sing?